The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies
from the 90s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
The movie where Gene Hackman plays a cranky old man, Nathan Lane plays a flamboyant gay man, and Robin Williams plays a sad man. This is a documentary they made in 1996.
The movie where it proves whether you're gay, straight, Democrat, or Republican, we're all the same, except for Robin Williams' son and fuck that guy.
The movie that when you watch it, you're like, huh, Hank Azaria is doing a crazy over-the-top ethnic stereotype of a Latino. And now you're like, man, Hank Azaria is doing a stereotype ethnic over-the-top Latino. Damn it.
This is The Birdcage on Blockbuster Nostalgia. Hey, Blockheads, and welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia, the movie podcast counting down the biggest movies of the 1990s, one by one. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
And today we have a first-time guest.
Hi, I'm Francisco Campa.
All right, two Franciscos.
Double Francisco, yeah, two action. Franciscos.
IR Francisco.
IR Francisco.
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
I'm in the middle of a Francisco sandwich, and it is sexy.
Yeah, we very quickly found out that you're Francisco number one and I'm Francisco number two in our group of friends. Yeah, that was pretty quick, Han. Or I get the other Francisco
a lot. Francisco, yeah. Quite a bit. I don't like nicknames. So.
Yeah, we both refuse to go by nicknames.
Yeah.
So I can't be Cisco or Frankie or...
Pancho.
Yeah, I mean, we have like 40 nicknames for Francisco.
Yeah, so we're Francisco number one, Francisco number two.
Or Francisco and the other Francisco.
And the other.
Yeah, but thank you for coming on, and I think it's been a minute that we've talked about you coming on already.
Yeah, it has been. Thank you guys for inviting me. I'm super excited.
And we have had your sister. She's one of the Duncans.
Yes, she loves this podcast.
Ah, thanks. Andrea Duncan has come on. She was on Little Mermaid.
Yeah, she's been on a few times.
Yeah,
a bunch of stuff. Little Whorehouse.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, thanks. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, so today we're talking about The Birdcage, 1996, giant hit movie.
Mike Nichols, right? This is a great movie.
This is a very funny movie and a surprisingly poignant movie in many ways. Or not just poignant, because I figured it would have like, you know, it's trying to make a point.
Yeah.
And, you know, but it's surprisingly sincere.
Right.
Right. Yeah. A lot of emotions.
Yeah.
In the...
Like, the whole middle 30 minutes is kind of just a character drama.
Yeah, yeah. Robin Williams, obviously, Nathan Lane.
Yeah, Robin Williams, Nathan Lane. You mentioned Mike Nichols directing it. This is the second or third Mike Nichols movie we talked about. He also did Working Girl.
Yeah, he did... Well, he also did... He goes way back to The Graduate.
Right. The Graduate's obviously what made him, like, a name.
He did Wolf. He did Closer.
Yeah.
He was a showrunner for Angels in America. And actually, I thought... I for a second thought he might have been gay, and I mentioned it to Eric. I was like, oh, is Mike Nichols gay? Because he seems like an advocate. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
But I feel like, looking through the trivia, like he is. He was very like...
An advocate, you mean?
Yeah, he's an advocate. Yeah. Yeah, because he had been married to like four women.
Yes.
Not, right. Yeah. I mean, you can still be gay and be married to
that's
four
true.
Women.
Yeah, that is very fair. And that's why I was like, are you sure? Let's keep checking the end of his life and see like what, you know, what happened. Because that shit happens all the time. But yeah, because he did like Angels in America. He was like the showrunner for that, which is the one about the AIDS epidemic.
Right.
And I mean, but he's also did like Wolf and Primary Colors. And right. So, you know,
He's a very versatile director. And this is Robin Williams. We've talked about many times on this podcast. Because from about 87-ish to 97-ish, he's arguably the biggest movie star in the world.
Yeah. I mean, he brought it, man. It was like right before Will Smith became the biggest star in the world.
Right.
Right before like Men in Black. So it's definitely anything he makes is kind of like
Yeah. He made gold. Seven movies in a row that all made over $100 million. I believe they were all in a row. It may have been like seven out of eight. But basically, that's a fucking like massive run.
Yeah. He also... plays another dad. This is like he's been playing dads forever.
He's been playing dads, yeah.
But in this one, he's a very good dad.
That's true. Last time he was the cross dresser and he was a bad dad.
Yeah.
Now he's not the cross dresser, but he's a good dad.
And has a bad son.
He has a very bad son. God.
Oh my god. There was a point in the movie where I was like, oh, he's the villain.
Yep.
Yeah. Like his son is the bad guy in this movie. Which is I don't know. I mean, it's crazy how bad he gets.
It's really wild. Because I told you while we were watching it, because I'd never seen this movie before except for like little bits and pieces.
Really?
Is that I assumed going in it was going to be this, because I read the premise and I assumed it was like his son shows up and they're like, oh, we got to do this together. And like, it's all wacky hijinks and like farcical looks at each other. But no, the son is an asshole.
Right. He's like, hide the man who's been raising me since I was a child.
Oh my God. And he's like very insistent about it.
Yeah. Yes. He's like, super insistent about it to a point of just obnoxiousness. Douche.
Yeah. He's never like, oh, I'm in between a rock and a hard place. Like, you never feel that for him.
Robin Williams, you feel that. Yeah.
Yeah. He's definitely between. But that kid is just like, no, you know what?
I don't. Do everything for me.
Yeah. Oh, and he goes out of his way. He's fucking terrible.
Like, he is fucking terrible. Yeah, he's the worst in this movie.
Yeah, he's really bad.
I wonder if that's why that actor didn't get them any parts.
Because everyone was just like, fuck that guy. Yeah.
Like, how like, dare you treat Nathan Lane like that? Yeah.
The man is a that national treasure. That man is
nominated for like 18 Tonys, you motherfucker.
Yeah, because Nathan Lane was already like, he was a Broadway guy.
Yeah.
Already. Mm-hmm. And this was like his breakout role. He had been in a couple other things before.
Small roles.
And Lion King, obviously.
He was like the cop in Adam's Family Values. Right. We talked about. So he, you know, done like little roles and stuff, but this is huge. Yeah. And he knocks it out of the park.
Yeah.
So the movie starts off with they have a club in Miami.
South Beach.
Like South Beach.
Yeah. Which I did not realize.
It's full of ass?
Yes. It's full of ass.
It is chock full of ass.
I mean, the 90s and thongs.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like high thongs? Like neon high thongs.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Everywhere.
I don't know who did like the background casting in this movie, but it was all beefcakes and like hot chicks.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think there was no background casting. It was just we're filming in South Beach.
Yeah. They just put up signs.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, oh, another movie's happening.
Right.
Yeah.
They're normally all that, like, perfect looking or super old.
Yeah, right. That's true. Or very old, yeah. And, like, oil me up because the camera crew is coming. Yep. Everybody was super oiled up. It also seems like the coolest fucking place on earth.
Like, the party it's a party,
fucking happening.
Yeah. All day.
All like, day.
Morning, night.
Even when they're just, like, walking around shopping for shit, I'm like, well, there's gorgeous people everywhere. Everybody's drinking. Everybody's having a really good time.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, man, I want to be there.
They
also... They own a club. Is it Goldman's?
No.
It's called The Birdcage.
The Birdcage. It is called The Birdcage. You're right.
The actual name of the drag club, yeah.
Yeah. It starts off with a drag show, which is... It's cool, but it was very sophisticated. Like a very sophisticated drag show.
It was a full-on show.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like you're paying for like a stage show. It wasn't like...
Yeah, because this is a club where that... I mean, this is... That's what they do. This isn't like they have a drag show event.
They have a drag night.
Yeah. Right. This is, they do this and people come and sit at tables.
Yeah. And also there was like cool people there. There was like that old couple.
That old couple. Yeah.
Anniversary. And I was like, good for them. Look at them going to the badass fucking.
Yeah. It's more like a theater show.
Right.
With drag queens.
And it's really good. And then we immediately see Hank Azaria is pulling all the stops on this fucking character. I do remember when this movie came out and I do remember him getting a lot of praise for that character.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And now listening to him, his character's a little bit problematic. Not the gay part, I think, as much as the weird accent he's pulling. But I don't know.
His Guatemalan.
Yeah. His Guatemalan accent. Yeah.
A little too much. Yeah.
It's heavy. Yeah. Like it's a.
But then they have to throw in that like gay list.
Right.
Right. There. Right.
So I think that's where it comes off.
He does amazing. He does amazing voice work. What can you say?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you can say a lot of things.
The guy's a master.
Yeah. It's funny because I do feel like back then it was kind of like a selling point for you. Like we have a very serious movie about a relationship, like up to men, but we also have a very funny gay guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you had to kind of have that for old executives to be like, oh yeah, it's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh, I remember when...
Well, I mean, this is also a comedy, too.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, no, for sure. You definitely... If they would... This movie as a drama in 1996, I don't know that it... I mean, it probably still gets made, but I don't know if it gets made at this level with these many name, like, high-price actors and stuff like that.
If you did, like, a Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
Right.
But, you know, like, homosexual instead of interracial. Yeah, they probably would have been like, nah, maybe... But it would have been definitely like an independent release.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a big...
It would have been like a Miramax thing as opposed to a
it wouldn't have made, Universal which, or whatever. I don't think I've said already, $124 million this movie made.
Right.
Which is a shit ton of money for 96. I mean, that was a long time ago. So, I mean, adjusted for inflation, that's like $42 trillion now.
That is close to $42 trillion,
yes. The math is correct, yeah.
Yeah. It all checks out.
So, and actually, speaking of stereotypical over-the-top gay performances... You know, Robin Williams in his stand-up and in some of his talk shows had a pachance to do over the top more than once, including gay characters. They actually asked him originally to play the Nathan Lane character. He was like, "No, I don't think so."
I do think it was probably because he was like, "I just did Mrs. Doubtfire."
That's true.
Like, yeah, probably like you put me in drag again, like people are gonna be like, "Oh, this is Mrs. Doubtfire too."
Yeah. Although, evidently originally, yeah, right.
Although.
yeah. This unlocks something in him, and then he goes to South Beach.
You know when you hear the, like, it's like, the new Hellraiser is an old horror script that we just added Pinhead to it.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, the new Doubtfire 2 is just the Birdcage script.
Yeah, they just took the Birdcage and they're like, Doubtfire 2. Line about how,
well, and also he has a kid, right? So it's just, make one of the kids grown up. Yeah.
Yeah, actually.
Even though it was only like 2 years later, and those kids were like 8.
Yeah, that's true.
But.
Oh, all right, so. I do want to
Anyway, Steve Martin was the other guy originally. It was going to be Steve Martin and Robin Williams.
Really?
But in like reversed roles.
Well, Steve Martin could have played that like straight.
Yeah, straight acting.
Yeah.
Like more of
the quote unquote straight man, even though.
Yeah.
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 Ironic.
I do want to talk about the age thing because when the kids come in.
Oh my God. Yeah. Calista Flockhart, the 30-year-old, 18-year-old.
No, they're like, "You're not even 20 yet." She was 32 when they shot this.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she looks young.
She does.
She looks very young. And it's also awesome that she still had like 8 years of Ally McBeal after this. So right. She was like
this
40
was the,
when she
this
left
was
Ally
McBeal. The beginning of her career.
Yeah.
She broke at 32.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then we get this great scene where Nathan Lane's refusing to go on stage.
Right. This is the diva scene.
Yeah. Yeah. He's being, and then we get a lot of these scenes. They do kind of happen often.
Yes.
But it's like their dynamic is that it's like Nathan Lane is like,
over
super dramatic, yeah.
Yeah.
And Robin Williams is trying to like constantly like bring him down and
yeah. Yeah, they have the same relationship that Liz Lemon and Jenna Maroney have in 30 Rock. Where it's just the over the top actress who's needs constant like validation and reassurance, yeah. Only, you know, they're having sex.
Yeah, yeah. Nathan Lane has a great line where he keeps talking about losing and gaining weight.
Yeah.
He's like, I went from a size
100 pounds, he says, yeah. In a year.
A size 16 to a size 10, back to a size 16. Very funny. Hank Azaria gives him...
The pyrene tablets,
that's right.
Yeah. That is a great joke.
That's the only drug that will calm him down. Yeah. That's him going through life.
If it wasn't for those tablets, I don't think I would be here.
Yeah. And then he's like, what are you giving him? It's like aspirin with the M,
the
A.
The A and the S.
Yeah, A and the S. And then Robin was like, that's brilliant. Yeah.
It is.
Everybody knows exactly what he's like. Yeah. What Nathan Lane is like. But he's the final show. He's like the big finale of the whole thing.
Right.
And
presumably for some time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they own the club, so right. For a long time he's been doing that. Robin Williams has that thing where he's like, oh, you know what, send Rachel in or whatever. And he's like, no. Like,
right. Yeah.
How dare you send somebody lesser to do my bit.
Yeah, and it's great. And he brings like a super, when he's actually doing the singing part, it's like a very sophisticated like singing part. You know what I mean? Like, he's very, very... very like accommodating to people and stuff, but he's not like crazy over the top. There's not like fireworks coming out and
right.
He's not dressed like a peacock or you know what I mean? He's not like doing like an over the top drag.
Yeah, like a cocktail show on a cruise ship.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Right, yeah. Which I thought was very interesting. I didn't start going to drag shows till I was like in my late 20s. So it made me think, I was like, in the 90s were drag shows like this? But maybe in Miami in a fancy club.
Yeah, I feel like that was a different world over there.
Right. The clientele that they had was very sophisticated.
So yeah, yeah.
Can't be as raunchy.
Yeah. You can't be just giving shots away to birthday people. And maybe they'll celebrate people's anniversaries, like we said.
That's true. I call it out.
We also get the sense that Robin Williams is seeing somebody. So
right. So the whole first part of the movie is a fake out. Is Robin Williams cheating on Nathan Lane?
Right.
where he is super flirtatious with this young, handsome man that shows up and has him wine and, you know, compliments his haircut.
White wine, because Nathan Lane only drinks red wine.
They only drink red wine, which is why they went crazy. And yes. Nathan Lane was losing
was
it.
Losing, yeah.
He's like on the ground and shit. Right. It was really funny. What is he? He says the Trippets or something. He doesn't drink.
Something like
he's
that.
He's like, oh,
yeah.
I want to stop drinking.
Oh, the tannins.
Tannins. That's what it was. Yeah. Because of the tannins.
The tannins and the red wine, so he has to switch to wine. Yeah. You know, it's healthier. We need the healthier alcohol.
Right.
It's important. It's important. I don't know how you keep a figure. Also, I want to mention this because Hank Azaria looks fucking cut.
Hank Azaria is ripped up.
He looks great.
He's like half naked in most of the movie.
In most of the movie, yeah. Which, I saw this movie when it came out, and I remember a lot of the stereotypical stuff that he was doing, but I don't remember him being that cut.
Right.
He looked great, yeah.
You just didn't appreciate it back then.
No,
now you know all the hard work.
Yeah, no, I know all the work he put in. I'm like, man, he probably smashed. He probably did really well, Hank Azaria.
Yeah.
He's a good-looking guy.
He is.
And he was on South Beach, so...
Yeah, oh, yeah.
He had his choice of whatever he wanted.
Yeah. All he had to do was go work out on the beach for a little bit and just rake him in.
Yep.
Yeah, but then we get his son shows up, but we don't know it's his son. It's a reversal, like you said, where we kind of think he's seen a younger guy. Although this guy, not dressed very, fancy.
Yeah, he doesn't know it. He's not
super 90s looking.
Yeah, like that jacket.
Yeah, the jacket, the pleated pants, the khakis, very hetero.
Yeah. Thanks for saying that. That's what I was thinking. Very hetero looking, especially for the 90s. But they have this weird, and it's funny. I think it's funny the way they wrote it. But they have this weird exchange where he's like, "Oh, you look great," and he's like, "Oh, you look great too." No, I feel bloated. And I know they're leading into like, "Oh, he's cheating on him." But then they're father and son. But after it happened, we were like, "Ew."
Yeah,
yeah. Hey, like, that's a little creepy thing.
They're touching each other's faces like kind of a bit too much.
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
Yeah. So then the plot drops right in this right in this scene.
Dad, I'm getting married.
Oh, and he crazy. Everybody reacts hard to them getting married. Everybody in this movie hates the idea of, first of all, a 20-year-old and a 19-year-old getting married, played by a 32-year-old and a 28-year-old.
Yep.
Yeah. And blatantly, like, that kid does not look 20.
Neither of them look like they're
not even close.
Whatever,
yeah. When he's like, Rami Malek was like, you're barely 20. That's what you're like, bullshit. Right?
Like, he's 40. It's fine. Yeah, you can get married. Yeah.
No, like, you don't have to say his age. You can just say young.
Right.
Yeah. I know the script said 20, but maybe.
Just say young. Yeah.
Yeah, just say young.
You're too young.
He's coloring his hair now. And we don't have to go that far into pretending that he's fucking 20 years old.
Although maybe they feel like that'll give you more sympathy for him being such a jackass.
Oh, my God.
If he's only 20.
We'll get into that later.
Yeah. I'm guessing no.
Yeah. Well, there's no sympathy.
Nor should you.
Yeah, no, not at all. Oh, he sucks. Even at the end, when he spoiler alert, when he comes back and he reverses the whole thing, I was like, I don't know, man, fuck you still.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
like that doesn't make up for everything
exactly that you've done. Like, and everybody again, I'm jumping to the end, but everybody involved kind of has that look like, yeah, the worst part is that you lied. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's like, what the fuck is going on here? Why do we have to go through all this fucking bullshit? You could have just upset me one time by telling me the fucking truth.
Well, it's a good life lesson for us all. Like, just to, you know, just bite the bullet.
Mm-hmm. Right. Be your true self.
Well, but also, like, even beyond that, if you have to give someone a hard conversation or a hard truth or have that hard, awkward conversation, even if it's not about, you know, this serious stuff, even if it's just about, you know, I wrecked your car, Dad, or whatever, just fucking say it.
Yeah. Do that Zach Morris thing when he takes his dad's, he calls his dad's cell phone, and he's like, is this the only way I can get to you, Dad? Saved by the Bell? I don't know if you guys remember that.
I never watched that. We've had this conversation. I've never seen the show, and I don't know who Zach Morris is, but go ahead and let's role play this conversation. I'll be the dad. Go.
Well, so first of all, Zach Morris is the coolest motherfucker that ever lived.
To this day,
for starters, yeah.
Okay.
So
I'm a dad. My son is really cool, but I've never talked to him. Okay, I got it.
All right. Wait, you're the dad?
I'm the dad. You were doing the call.
All right. Well, you got to do business stuff first.
Okay.
Business.
Business. Hello. Thank you for calling.
Like, ring.
Morrison and son. This is Morris. No,
he does not include his son. All right, you're fucking it. And actually, I just specifically said the conversation. It was, is this the only way I can get to you, Dad? And then his dad hangs up. And then that's
oh, it. Damn. He hangs up?
Yeah.
Hardcore.
Well, I mean, they're in the same room.
Oh.
The point is, he's always on his phone.
I got you.
All right. Go watch the Tim and the Bell, right. Sir.
And then we'll come back.
And then we'll circle back yeah. to this. Yeah. I don't know what you were watching, but Saved by the Bell should have been what you were watching.
Probably.
Yeah. Pre-college years, post-Good Morning, Miss Whatever, first season
yeah. where he could time travel or stop time or something?
No, he could stop time through the whole thing. Oh, almost. Right, yeah. Right. The greatest power that you could have, and he never used it to...
Diddle?
Yeah, to diddle anybody. Knock anybody's junk around. A waste of a high school power, I
see. Right, exactly.
But then we get... All right, so here's how he lays it out. He's like, I'm getting married... Robin Williams is immediately like, no, you're too young. Like,
freaks out a little bit.
And then he does a bluff where he's like, get out of here. If you do that, I'll never talk to you again. Calls his bluff and he's like, hugs him. It's a heartwarming moment.
Yeah, yeah. So nice. It's nice. Yeah. He's like, all right. And then we cut to Gene Hackman and Calista Flockhart and Diane Weist. We find out that Gene Hackman is a U.S. senator and he's part of the Committee on Morality or something.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That he co-founded
yes.
with yes.
his other senator.
Right, with Jackson? Another senator, Senator yeah. Jackson, yes, that becomes important later on.
He's also really good friends with Bob Dole.
Yes.
Which tells you something.
But Bob Dole's too much of a liberal for him.
Yeah, which also tells you something.
Yep.
He mentions, he doesn't mention Newt Gingrich, but
he mentions
like,
Jeb Bush.
Jeb Bush. Yeah. They're going to be staying with Jeb Bush.
They mentioned Jeb Bush a couple of times. Yeah. Graham? Billy Graham. They mentioned Billy Graham at one point. I mean, he's super conservative.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's a conservative character.
Right.
Yeah.
So immediately we get this thing where he's on this show where he's talking about how abortion and gay marriage is destroying America.
It's a super funny sequence because it's like four people on this show just yelling at each other so you can barely understand what they're saying. And he's just like... This is it, the smartest show on television.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's just white old dudes yelling like anti-abortion,
but they're like arguing with each other, so you can't even really understand what they're saying.
Yep. And then his wife just like agrees, like, yeah, it's good.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, so yeah. Good. She's got a great turnaround. The wife has a great character because she's super supportive of him, but at the end she's like, just shut up already.
Right. Yeah. Like she knows he's racist.
Right.
But she loves him and tries to support them. And she's like, yeah, all of that stuff's fine, but it's not to her. And then she's like, but it's fine.
But all right, whatever. We're like rich.
Right. Yeah. We're in this already.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't have to work. Do what you got to do.
Well, you know, you got to protect the brand.
Exactly.
Right. We get right away the sense that he's super conservative and that Calista Flockhart is afraid to tell him the truth. So she lies to him right away.
The mom is like, oh, well, is he from a good ass about his family or something, right?
Yeah, they're asking about him, yeah.
Yeah, and then so she, on the fly, says that they're a cultural attaché in Greece.
Yep.
Which, do you know what that means?
Absolutely
not. Do you
not.
Know what that means?
I have no idea. And neither do they. It's like a diplomatic type of
something.
Yeah.
Like nobody in this movie knows what it is.
Nobody does.
I'm not even sure it's a real word.
I don't think it's a real position.
I mean, we're going to have to look it up and see what it is.
A cultural attaché. It's actually pretty funny because nobody knows what that is.
But it's also, they're the kind of people that don't want to seem like they don't know what it is.
Right.
Yeah.
So they just go along with it. Like, oh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Yeah, yeah. I've heard of that before. Sure. Yeah. Why not? So we get all that sense. Christopher tells them they live in Greece.
Right.
He calls her right away. She gets found out. So the movie's based on a French farce movie. So the foundation is there for the French
for
farce.
The farce. Yeah.
Yeah, like right away we get
people finding out and then thrown into a crazy situation.
Where
it's the setup
to.
For a crazy farce for sure.
Right. Yeah. Where they have to like make up more stuff and they keep getting like worse and worse and worse in there.
Right.
Right away she gets called out and he's like, oh no, they live in South Beach.
They're in South Beach now because they have two homes.
Yeah, they were in Greece. But they're only like 5 minutes away from where Jeb Bush lives.
Yeah.
Which is funny to focus on Jeb Bush.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, that is funny now. Like, we were talking about it. He had already run for governor because of Florida.
Yeah, because at first I was like, why would people know who Jeb Bush was?
Yeah.
But yeah, he had lost, I guess, the race obviously he was the son of a president, but
right.
He had lost the race for governor. So I'm sure that was probably at least somewhat notable at the time.
And it was probably before George Bush was Well, he was in Texas, so
it was before I think it was before W was governor.
Right, it was before W. So Jeb Bush was kind of like all the talk.
Yeah,
like all the rage was about Jeb Bush. Everybody was like, "That guy's going to be president, not his cokehead brother."
That's right.
That guy's going to serve two terms.
That guy's had a lot of that guy's going to be president, not that crazy person, and yet.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
We are.
This well-rounded. I don't know how Jeb Bush. I assume he's not well-rounded.
I'm pretty sure he's like the rest of the Bush.
Yeah, exactly. But they do drop his name. There's also a lot of, like we said, a lot of talk about Bob Dole, and it gets really funny when they're like, Bob Dole is gorgeous or something.
at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really funny callback.
Which would have been really funny if Bob Dole would have shown up in this movie.
Yeah, a cameo from that would have been hilarious.
Yeah, why didn't he?
Amazing.
I mean, he went on SNL. Did an impression of him, or well, like during a Norm impression, right? So he poked fun.
You know why? Because gay marriage was a huge,
That's right.
Yeah, like a huge deal. This is at a time where gay people couldn't get married.
That's right.
And conservatives were using that to their advantage to win election.
Yeah, scare tactics.
Yeah, exactly. Which is still weirdly funny to me that this idea they're like, well, if gay people can get married, like I don't know how that affects you in any way.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, well, it's going to...
It's hurt. The whole slippery slope thing.
Yeah.
We don't need to get into it.
Yeah. It's so dumb. But anyway, that's what... Like, Bob Dole was kind of, like, clinging to that at the time. So, yeah. So, Gene Hackman is super conservative. Then his fucking partner, senator, that started the morality thing,
right,
like they usually do,
yep,
dies in a fucking... With an underage
in
black
a hotel
prostitute.
Room with an underage black prostitute, yes.
Time out stereotypes.
Yep.
This whole movie's chock full of them.
Yep. Oh, yeah. It's a stereotype as old as time.
Yep.
It really is. It's true. That's really funny. But it's... there's a part in it where Gene Hackman is like, oh, she was black. Now the blacks are going to have a field day or something like that. And I was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Which apparently Gene Hackman was on like Richard Nixon's enemies list.
Yeah.
Which is very funny.
It is very funny.
Because Richard Nixon had an enemies list that people made fun of because it was so crazy, over the top, and weird. I mean, I guess Trump probably has the same shit.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. But it was just like the weirdest fucking people that he just hated. And he made a list out of them. And then they found it later and it was fucking weird people. But Gene Hackman was one of them.
Yeah, it's really
weird. Which is very... I mean, he was in the French Connection, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he gave too much money to his opponent?
Maybe.
I don't know. But he made it on his list.
I think because he saw the conversation, he's like, that guy's probably recording me.
Yeah.
Little did he know, he was recording himself.
Yeah, the whole time. All right, so then the son comes at him with the shittiest fucking idea. Well, they tell Nathan Lane. They tell Nathan Lane that he's going to get married. Nathan Lane is like, does the same reaction. It's like, no, you're just a baby.
Even more so. Yeah. Because everything Nathan Lane does is even more so.
Oh, he's fucking great in this movie.
No, he's really good.
So good.
Yeah.
He plays so that good. Motherly character so well.
Yeah. So it becomes one of the reasons why you hate that fucking son character is because
he makes Nathan Lane cry like 15 times.
Yeah. And Nathan Lane is such a loving character.
Yeah.
And Robin Williams, too. Like, they're both working really hard to appease this fucking kid.
Yeah.
And eventually he's just the worst fucking person. They tell him,
nothing's ever good enough for this kid either.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God. So yeah, he comes up with this plan where he's like, they're very conservative.
Well, because what happens is after the scandal, they're like, we got to get out of town. Let's go see this fiance. We can if they're okay and everything goes well, we can announce the wedding. And
then
that'll distract
the whole thing.
Yeah, it'll divert all the attention because now we're focusing on a solid family wedding and, you know, we're not that guy. We're, you know, we're still the moral people and blah, blah, blah.
And they keep calling it
a white
wedding. Not
which
referring
is
to
a
the
little
dress.
Weird.
Yeah.
It's a little weird.
Not referring
not
to the dress at all.
Just good old-fashioned white wedding.
They're so conservative that they can't even tell them they're Jewish.
Jewish, yeah.
Yeah. Which is like, it's a high level of conservative. Like, to just be like, a Jewish wedding? I don't know. Is that interracial? Like, what is that?
Interfacial.
Interfacial, right?
I mean, interfacial.
Interfacial.
Yeah.
Sounds like a Pornhub channel.
I would watch that.
Yeah. That's a Pornhub channel for sure.
But then that was another thing, was our last name was too Jewish.
Yeah,
because
it was too Jewish. Yeah.
It was Goldman, so they had to change it to Coleman.
Coleman, yeah.
That sounded more whitewashed.
It's crazy to be that conservative.
Well, and also, as I said during the movie, every Republican senator in the 90s was also a huge supporter of Israel. So it's weird.
Right.
I suppose, I mean, you know, having your family marry one is different than supporting them politically, but...
It's still weird.
It's still weird.
But yeah, they keep calling it a white wedding, which is very funny and weird. And
yeah, really awkward.
Yeah, yeah. Every time it's like, ew.
Yeah. Stop saying that, Diane.
Stop saying that over and over again, Gene Hackman. Yeah. It's like eating chocolate and just saying, like, white wedding. the news are like posted up, so he keeps climbing in through the window and shit. It's pretty funny still. At the same time, Robin Williams kind of like accepts it. He tells his son, like, all right, let's do this. I'll have to get...
We'll have to get Nathan Lane.
After that intense monologue where he's like, I'll never hide myself again. Like,
yes!
Oh, yeah, he has years. A real... Yeah.
Like, how
it took me
20
years to get to this point. Yeah.
Tell me to, like, go back into the closet.
Anybody. It's a great monologue. It is, yeah. And he legit tells him, like, no. And he says, like, fuck the senator or something.
Did anyone get nominated for this movie? Because I feel like their performances are really good.
I don't know. I feel like everyone should have. Well, they got the outstanding performance by cast for the Screen Actors Guild Award.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Here's something crazy. The Blockbuster Entertainment Awards, which obviously are meaningless anyways, but...
No, they're Blockbuster.
They're Blockbuster.
The biggest company of 1996.
But they gave Best Support... he won. Best Supporting Actor won for this movie, Gene Hackman.
Really? Yeah.
Not Nathan Lane.
Gene Hackman got a lot of awards for this movie, which is...
Because he was playing the straight person.
Yeah, exactly. Lane
got, let's be honest.
Let's be honest, yeah.
Nathan Lane got nominated.
The way that Sylvester Stallone gets nominated for Creed and not any of the other actors or writers or the director.
It's the best part of the movie.
No, I mean, you could argue that the director is probably the best part of the movie, but yeah, let's be honest. All right, let's see.
But yeah, no Robin Williams. I feel like this is one of his best performances.
Oh, yeah. Both of them.
He's really good at it.
Both of them do a great job. But they're like, no, also...
It's a comedy, too.
It probably goes back to, like, Gene Hackman has been in the industry for fucking 35 years.
Yeah, everyone loves that.
Yeah, we gotta, like, focus on that guy. Robin Williams is Miss Doubtfire. We can't give an award to Miss Doubtfire.
Right.
Which is exactly how the Academy works.
Yep.
Yeah, that's how they think. That's why Adam Sandler...
But it is interesting that he got nominated for a lot of other movies. But, yeah, sad. He should have gotten... I'm going to look up who got nominated this year. But anyways, you can keep talking while I do it.
One of the other things that's really cool about this movie is P.T. Anderson said it's one of his favorite movies. And P.T. Anderson, he directed like Boogie Nights right like a couple years after this.
Yeah.
He did, you know, There Will Be Blood. He's got the new Licorice Pizza movie coming out.
That's right. It looks good.
He's one of the master filmmakers that we have. And it's fucking cool that he's like this and The Shining. If it's on, I'm sitting down and I'm watching it.
Right.
And, yeah. And
like two very different movies.
Completely different. Yeah. And it like, the opening shot feels like it's a one shot a lot because it moves from the outside of the club into the club. And when I was watching it, when I read that, I was like, oh, that makes sense. Like Boogie Nights has a lot of shots like that where it's like a club and a party happening and the camera will move in through
just
the whole thing.
Through the crowd.
Yeah, exactly. And it's that same over-the-top party atmosphere kind of deal. So I'm like, oh, that's fucking cool. Like, this is a cool movie to kind of, like, be one of your favorite movies.
Yeah.
This was a loaded year. In fairness to the Academy, this was a pretty loaded year. So, actor in a lead role, Jeffrey Rush in Shine, Tom Cruise in Jerry Maguire, Ralph Fiennes in The English Patient, Woody Harrelson in The People vs. Larry Flint, and Billy Bob Thornton in Sling Blade.
Also, The English Patient won this year, and fuck that.
Yeah, I mean, probably get rid of that. But
yeah.
And then Best Supporting Actor is probably even more loaded. Cuba Gooding Jr., Jerry Maguire, William H. Macy.
Oh, he won for I Show Me the Money.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
William H. Macy in Fargo, which is fantastic. Ed Norton in Primal Fear, James Wood in Ghosts of Mississippi, and Armin Mueller Stahl in Shine.
Oh, nice.
Really good supporting.
It was a good... A nomination year, but a bad award year.
Yeah, they give a lot of awards to The English Patient.
Yeah. So The English Patient is a fucking boring movie.
We were going to redo that. Probably not so much with that one.
Maybe The English Patient was not the timeless movie that we all... that they should have given all the fucking awards to. Robin Williams has his great...
They gave
great
a lot
speech.
To The English Patient. I'm just looking through this list still.
You got like...
Anyone
and
best
nobody
editing?
Knows about that movie.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
It was
score?
I'm pretty sure it was about a mummy, right? It's a mummy that comes back to life and falls in love with a lady, with a nurse. I believe that's what it's about.
Man, best picture and best director and oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. It was a good year for nominations, a bad year for awards.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's usually how it goes.
Yes.
A lot of good movies that year, though.
Also, Birdcage is kind of a shoo-in for the one comedy that you put in the
right, in because the best it's picture. Got drama.
Yeah, because it's got
and
drama.
It's got like a point that you would think Hollywood liberals would be like, yes, we support this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not. I guess not at that time, man. So after he gives the great speech, he comes back and he's like, all right, we'll do it. It's going to be hard to get Nathan Lane out of the house.
Right. We're going to have to come up with some crazy scheme to get them out. And then his scheme is like, you want to... Want
to
go out?
You want to go to the... Maybe you should take a couple days off. You look old.
Right, yeah. Yeah. You look tired.
Yeah, you look tired. Yeah, that's what it is. You look tired. And then Nathan's like, tired means old. And like...
While rested means collagen.
Yeah.
Very good line.
Oh, it's really funny. They're sitting like on the beach.
They have singers.
Oh my God. Yeah, they're... Like the comedy writing in this, and I don't know how much of it is improv, but man, like everything lands in this movie. Even yeah. when he goes and gets and tries out the chocolate or whatever in that little bakery where he gets cake. Yeah.
Let me just one more.
Yeah.
One more for the road.
Yeah. Everything lands, man. Like they're knocking it out of the park.
Yeah. Now, I do wonder, speaking of the improv, if there was ever a movie that we needed bloops.
Oh, yeah.
Like at the end? Bloopers? Yeah. Because
that whole cast would have just been...
Would have just been riffing nonstop.
Yeah.
Especially like where he's on the stage at Star Arena, like
right
practicing.
Because I imagine some of that's got to be
a great scene.
Yes, and then that young guy is right there, like just chewing gum, and Nathan Lane is just going crazy over this piece of gum that he's chewing.
Yeah. Or like he touches his crotch at one point or something. Yeah. Yeah, that's a great scene. And then it has the scene which I remember also from the trailers a lot. The Robin Williams being like, Fosse, yeah. Madonna, yeah.
But all in your head.
Yeah. It's a great scene.
He's a great director.
Yeah. But they put it forward that he's going to get rid of Nathan Lane somehow.
Right.
And that...
While they redo the apartment.
Well, that even comes... So it's first it's like, all right, I'll act straight. I can do that.
And the son is like, fuck yeah!
Yeah.
Like just to make me hate him way more.
Right.
He's like, I'll do that for you, son. I'll act straight and pretend to be your normal straight dad. And then they're like, well, what about Nathan Lane? All right, we'll get Nathan Lane out of the house. All right, but what about the house? Like, nothing ever did happen to this kid.
But, I mean, if you look at the house, there's a lot of penises.
It's really funny. There is a lot.
As we pointed out.
Like, Neptune?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's art.
Yeah.
He turns around that little statue
with a big boner.
Yeah. It's like a little gnome with a big boner.
He's like, maybe out of everything, this is too much.
Yeah. And the whole place. I mean, but they do, like, the color scheme is great. It like I like all that, the pastels and stuff, and they all match with the outfits. Like Nathan Lane, when he gets mad,
like the scenes are the like design of the location around him.
Yeah. But they have to get all their drag queen friends to come in and help. And then at this point, I was like, rent another house, man.
Yeah.
Even he says, he's like, this is a lot of stuff to move.
Yeah, this is like everything. Everything has to go.
Yeah.
They add a cool, funny, they add a big moose head at one point. Right.
And it becomes a crucifix.
Yeah.
So it's the drag queens trying to figure out what straight people like. And so they start bringing in all this weird stuff. And then, again, the shitty son's like, don't add.
Subtract.
Just subtract.
Nothing is good enough for him.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is why they end up... sitting across from each other in just these stiff chairs with a tiny table in between.
Right.
And a big crucifix at the end.
Yeah, and a big crucifix. And they're just like, oh, it's very
monastery.
Austere.
Yeah, he says it's like a monastery. Yeah. And they have like Nancy Drew books and stuff. Yeah. One of the things that I like about this movie is that kind of flip where we're following the gay couple not knowing what straight people do.
Yeah,
and I like that quite a bit.
They're too gay to know.
Yeah.
What straight people and do on a regular basis.
Right.
So when you finally get, because I think the crescendo of that is, so Nathan Lane obviously finds out what's going on and is like, oh no, I'll be at first he's
gonna be the uncle.
Obviously,
he's very upset.
He loses his fucking shit. But then he's like, oh well, no, I'll be the uncle. I can pretend to be straight, right? Like that's not that hard. And then it's Robin Williams trying to teach him how to act straight is like 5 minutes of just fucking comedy gold.
Yeah. And they go with John Wayne.
Yeah, the John Wayne walk.
Which is like probably the most caricature of a straight guy.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like the most masculine thing you can think of on screen.
Yeah, yeah.
Cowboy.
Yeah.
In the Wild West.
I mean, speaking of, you know, City Slickers last week.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we did. Yeah, exactly. But I mean, it's funny to go with John Wayne, too. Mm-hmm. But it's because he was such a caricature of a man. I think we talked about this before where he would not only be supermanly, but he would get mad at you if you weren't supermanly.
That's right.
Like John Wayne's characters, if you were just like, I'm scared, he would get mad at you and be like, you pull up that gun, Pilgrim, and you shoot as far as, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, just let people be scared, man.
That's how people die, Francisco.
Yeah. You're fighting Indians, man. Like, just.
It's okay to be scared.
Yeah. No, he was like so manly. So it's funny to. And like in this, to kind of turn him into a straight caricature.
Yeah, yeah.
And be like, I don't know what's super hetero. Yeah,
having them.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Like, we don't watch things like that. Yeah. We don't know people like this.
Yeah, exactly.
So what I saw in the movie is basically this caricature of masculinity.
Exactly. And it's great. It plays so well. It's really funny. It's one of my favorite things in this movie. It's just him being like, I don't know. I guess straight people would have a big moose head on them.
Right, yeah.
Seems like a thing they would do.
They would have old books.
Yeah.
And all that's still like...
Not Nancy Drew books, but just old books. Encyclopedias.
Yeah. It all checks out. Like, it's all... Yeah, like, I can see why.
Yeah, no.
Why they picked the giant crucifix and stuff. But yeah, the whole time, the son is being a piece of shit.
Because, again, nothing's ever good enough for him. And he never feels any sympathy. Like, as Nathan Lane is...
Who's his mom?
Yeah, basically his mom.
Well, I mean, maybe, yeah, but like...
Well, like in those terms, he was the mother figure to the shitty son raising him.
Exactly. I mean, we don't have to mom, father, whatever, but like, yeah, they were the parents. They raised this kid. You find out that Robin Williams has had this kid...
The whole time.
The whole time. The kid has never met the mom.
Yeah.
Ever.
So this mother person doesn't exist to him.
Right.
And then he's like, can we get this non-existent mother person to come in instead of my fucking parent?
Except for my actual parent that's raised me for 20 years?
Yeah.
Which is the shittiest part of the movie. Yes. Like, hey, bring this woman who never gave a shit about me.
Right.
And
for
why?
20
it's
years.
Also,
and that I've never met.
It's also really crazy to me that, because she lives, like, what, 30 minutes away?
Right, yeah.
At no point when he was, like, 14, he was like, hey, can I meet my mom?
I mean, maybe, but maybe she was just like, no.
That's true.
Like, no thanks, I don't want that.
Yeah. Like, I'm a professional
cruise person, right?
I think it was like a fitness empire.
Yeah, you're right.
Christine Baranski has been in a bunch of other stuff. And
very,
she does a great job.
Yeah, no, she's good. I mean, she's a solid character actor. Every time you see her, you know, she's delivering the goods.
But it's so shitty and hurtful to have him be like, no, can we get her to come in and pretend to be my mom? And then Nathan Lane's like right there.
Right.
He talks Nathan Lane into going, and then he's going to pretend to be the uncle.
Right.
He can't quite pull it off, but you know, he's trying.
It's that damn pinky.
Yeah.
Pinky will not go down.
Every time he takes a drink, his pinky's up.
Yep. Right. Which, let me just say, as a gay man, I used to also have that problem.
Really?
It took me forever to like keep that pinky down when I grab the drink.
Just like grab a drink.
Interesting.
It's a really funny scene. He keeps telling him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he tries to like show him how masculine he can be by also, talking shit to that one giant guy.
The lunch that they eat looks awful to me.
It's just like
they're like toast.
It's like toast. It's not even toast. It's like crackers with lettuce and tomato.
It's a salad and a light toast sandwich.
It's not a salad. It's a one piece of lettuce and a tomato.
Because for a gay man who bought them, that's a whole meal.
Okay. All right. I guess
FYI.
I have to...
All right. See, this is why you're on this episode.
Right, exactly. I'm your fact checker.
Yeah, exactly.
That is
why
we...
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, we're talking trash about the meal. But yeah, he keeps like smashing down his pinky. He can't get it right. They keep trying to talk about sports.
He actually wears like a suit and has his hair done, but he has the like crazy pink socks.
And he's like, you gotta have a splash of color. And I'm like, yeah, to this day, Even splash if you're a straight guy, you should have a splash of color. Yeah. Like, it's a very good looking.
Well, this was before Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. So
before we learn how to be like good before looking we learn guys.
How to dress. Yeah. Yeah.
Before we all us learn all how to be us. Good looking guys. Yeah. I mean, you probably are already. But me, it took me a while. They try to talk about sports, and he's like, "I don't know what that means." Robbie Olam's like, "I don't know what that means either." Yeah. Like, they're just mentioning. Throwing out buzzwords.
They just stuff. Know that the Dolphins, that's all they know.
Right.
Like, the Dolphins, though, that thing that happened.
So this is a thing we've talked about before where people mention sports to me and I don't watch like football and stuff, but I can fake my way through.
Same.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Where they're like, did you see that game? Like fucking. I'll be the guy. Yeah.
All right. Hey, Francisco, did you see that game last night? What the fuck were the Raiders thinking?
Dude, every time. Every fucking time, man. That's why I can't even, like... Dude, I don't know, man. But that kid is a machine, though.
Yeah, no. The running back's amazing. But the coach, man.
Yeah. Oh, don't get me started on the fucking coach, man. And you know the next game is going to be the same.
Right. Yeah. Just repeat the same thing in every conversation. Yeah.
Right back at him. I can have a whole conversation.
Yeah, because then the person who knows about sports is like, oh, fuck, he knows what he's talking about. Yeah. Like, I'm going to keep going. But then sometimes it gets too long and you're like,
I got
yeah, then right. I'm like,
I don't like sports. Yeah.
The jig is up. It's not worth it anymore. Down with boringness. Right. I've got to bounce out now.
Right. Can we watch Will and Grace, please? I'm yeah. Over those.
This isn't worth it anymore. Like, I was just trying to appease you, but now it's not worth it.
See, maybe you could have taught Nathan Lane that. Like, this is how you fake your
this
way.
This is how you fake your way, yeah. You just say this shit back. But when we get down
but
to it.
But I guess they literally Nathan know no Lane, straight people except for the kid.
Right. But Nathan Lane does the best job at doing that later on when they're talking about conservative shit.
That's true, yeah.
And like,
well, because Nathan Lane's an actor.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, yeah, obviously Nathan Lane is an actor, but
the character is an actor.
Yeah.
Right. So he brings it.
Right.
So meanwhile, the press is following Gene Hackman, like the Inquirer. Right.
The National Enquirer finds out and is like tracking him down to South Beach. Eventually, the rest of the news catch on, too.
But then they decide, like, no, the mom is going to come. She's going to fill in.
Right.
And but they go see her. There's a crazy scene. Sorry, go ahead.
So, yeah, because the whole time, I was a little bit wondering. I was like, so did Robin Williams, was he married at one point? Did he used to
Which,
be
again,
straight?
Happens all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Especially back then, you had a lot of guys that were in the closet that, like, would either get married or would, like, have girlfriends or whatever. And then, you know, maybe he's bisexual. We don't know. And so, but you find out he was very much gay and he was an actor himself who got basically seduced one night.
He got the drunk and he showed up and he's like, I'm going to give it a shot. See what these straight guys are talking about.
Right.
But she's still very much into him.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hilarious because she's like in buttoning his shirt. They're doing dance scenes together.
Touching his chest hair. Like, because, you know, chest hair.
Yeah.
Robin Williams has a lot of chest hair.
Robin Williams has a lot of
Yeah. Like naturally in every movie.
He's 78% chest hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
5% cocaine, and then the rest is actual human.
And it's just like flirting with him on the couch. Yeah. All overly
And
sexual.
Of course, Nathan Lane comes in right when that's happening because, you know, it's a comedy.
And he gets very upset, obviously, and jealous. And then he goes and he tells him, like, I needed my toothbrush. I'm going to the cemetery. And it's like, you're going to the cemetery, really? It's like, that's why I packed light. It's very funny.
Yes, that is very funny.
But then followed by one of the most heartwarming scenes, which is when Robin Williams goes and he tells him, like, that cemetery is shit. I have a good cemetery.
Oh, and he brings the agreement to
the palimony.
Yeah, the palimony. But he tells him, like, he's like, I'm going to have to sell my really good plot.
So it was
to get buried next to you.
Was that an actual legal thing that pals would do? And by pals, I'm, you know.
Yes. It was like the only way they had like legal standing with each other.
Okay.
Was having like these palimony, like basically just contracts. So you can get married.
But you could have a legal contract saying,
like,
I own half
the
shit.
You get half of it. Yeah.
Isn't that just a will, though?
I mean, kind of. But for them, it was a lot more... bigger. It was like, well, is that as close as we can get to getting married, because we're doing it when you're alive, we're sharing this property or type of stuff together.
It was probably also a way for Democrats to be like, but we gave you polymonies. Isn't that what you guys wanted?
Exactly.
Yeah. You don't get marriage you or any other type of benefits whatsoever from each other.
If you're in a hospital, they can't visit you because they're not technically family. Right. But we gave you the polymony thing.
I mean, look, equal but separate has always worked.
Right.
So, yeah.
Just like we separate church and state.
That's right.
Time tested.
Quote unquote.
Time tested. Mother approved.
Yeah, no, it's a very heartwarming scene where he's like, here's that agreement.
Right.
Everything that you have is mine, everything I have is yours, like the club.
Yeah, no, that's a very heartwarming scene.
Yeah, and also, like, I'm going to have to sell my plot so that I can get buried next to you.
Which is that shitty cemetery.
Yeah, which is super sweet.
Because this whole time, Nathan Lane is thinking, like, he just doesn't love him anymore. Robin Williams doesn't want anything to do with him.
Right.
Like, it's over, and, like, he wanted something where, like, was concrete, like, oh, we're still in this together.
Right.
And that's why he wanted the polymony so bad. Robin Williams this whole time was like, I've had it. He's like, I've just been waiting for a good time to, like, give it to you, and me fucking up your life right now and making you miserable, I guess, is right.
Yeah. On this bus stop.
Right. Yeah, at this bus stop.
He's like, I'm making you sad, like, every other hour.
Yeah.
Because of our shitty son that we raised together.
Right.
Yeah.
It's forcing me to.
The worst. The most garbage person.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's a very sweet scene where... And then Nathan Lane is like, all right, well, let's try it. That's when he puts on the suit. And he kind of tries it out.
Tries to be the uncle.
And then he locks... When that doesn't go well, he locks himself away. And they're like, all right, this is fine. He'll be locked away.
Yeah, you're... Mom, in quotations, is showing up,
right?
It's nice of her to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's actually a pretty nice person when it comes down to, like, when she shows up, she's also, like, kind of supportive and not weird.
Yeah.
But then Gene Hackman shows up, and we have the most awkward thing where Robin is trying really hard to pretend to be straight.
Yes.
Hank Azaria is trying really hard to...
The Hank Azaria.
He's trying to walk in shoes.
Yeah.
But in shoes that are like eight sizes too big.
Because he doesn't own shoes.
Because again, he's half naked.
The whole time.
And shoes make him fall.
Right.
Which, I've been there.
Yeah. Shoes make him fall. Maybe not so much high heels. He probably rocks high heels.
Right.
Probably.
Heels, no problem.
He just doesn't understand these flats.
Yeah, 6-inch pumps good with the wig on. Because there's a scene where he has got the wig on and stuff. Yeah. But the regular shoes, he trips like four times in the shoes.
Yep.
It's fucking great. He also doesn't know how to cook.
This is the part of the movie that I assumed the whole movie was, basically.
Just a French farce.
Yes, exactly.
Just like, what are you doing?
This is Gene Hackman and the family, and they all got to pretend, and wacky hijinks, and people are falling, and we got soup, but no meal, and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't walk.
And then, of course,
Greece, I was there, and like, just like misinformation.
Right.
He calls himself Spartacus at some point. and then they have to cover that. Yeah.
Then, you know, the coup de grace, the climax of this, in a way, is then when Nathan Lane shows up dressed like Jackie Onassis.
Mrs. Doubtfire's awful.
It's a very
cousin.
Mrs. Doubtfire. Obviously.
Yes, it's a very Mrs. Doubtfire. And goes full wife mode.
Which
full conservative, like, Republican senator's wife.
Which is interesting and kind of like a testament to his character, Nathan Lane's character. That he goes super conservative wife and not like Liza Minnelli.
Right,
you know
yeah.
I mean? That he That's didn't true. Go like flashy.
Over the
wife,
top,
over
yeah.
The or even like kind of like a catty, like wasp of a wife. He went like super conservative.
He didn't go like Barbara Bush and like Jessica Rabbit.
Yeah,
he went Barbara Bush.
He went Barbara Bush. A very handsome woman. Oh man, at the end, the Bushes were just one person. Like, they looked exactly the same, only one of them had curly hair. That's all they had. So he does like old lady drag, which is also, when I was thinking about it, one of the things I love about drag is that, like, sometimes one of them will just be like an old lady character.
Yeah, you're like, oh, it's super crazy and like flashy, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, relatable.
Yeah.
Oh, grandma.
Right.
Yeah. But he comes out and immediately Gene Hackman takes a liking to her. He thinks it's her.
Right.
Again, because he kind of looks like Barbara Bush. And,
yes.
Well, I think it's, you know. Yeah, and it's also...
I think it's because he looks like Barbara Bush.
Probably because the
like
Barbara
a
Bush
lot.
Thing.
He's a little attracted.
They're obsessed with Jeb Bush. They're going to go spend the night at Jeb
That's
Bush's
right.
house. Yeah.
It's a sleepover at Jeb's house. But yeah, it's probably that. But it's also like Nathan Lane is selling her... as this kind of picturesque, small-town, conservative girl. So it's like Gene Hackman's dream girl.
Yeah, he's like, I've always wanted a 50s housewife.
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly.
He's like, this one has too many opinions of her own.
And she hardly has said a fucking thing the whole movie. Right. Like, too many opinions. Too much.
Remember how she dared to speak about Jackson?
Yeah. Telling me not to eat chocolate?
Yeah, she told me not to eat chocolate.
She kept telling me not to eat chocolate.
A real wife doesn't nag.
Before this, there was a scene, and I forgot to mention it, where the mom calls and she's like, I'm stuck in traffic.
Oh, right. That's why, because she gets stuck in traffic for like 8.5 hours.
Well, But Robin Williams calls and tells her, like, don't come anymore. We're not going to do that anymore. Like,
oh, yeah. The son's final betrayal?
Yeah. And he answers, and she calls back and he answers the phone and he's like, no, like, he wanted you to not show up late.
Yeah.
And it's a shot where he's just like a bad guy in it.
Yep.
Yeah. It's like a close-up of him.
Damn near. Might as well be like the James Bond, you know, villain shot or something.
Yeah, it's like his most villainous fucking part where he's like,
the
no,
fucking
I need
Disney
you to come.
Musical where he's about to break into a song.
Like his evil song?
His evil song, yeah.
Some weird Nazi imagery in it, but that's fine.
He's the bad guy, it's fine.
Yeah, it's Disney and he's a bad guy, it's fine. When Nathan Lane comes out, there's no coming back from that.
Right.
Nathan Lane's come back as a mom, so they tell him, like, go put the note out there that says, do not come up. But then the Inquirer people...
Take the note.
Which is the chubby dude from Heavyweights.
Yeah.
Who's the worst character in Heavyweights. Clearly, Ben Stiller is the best character in Heavyweights.
Sure.
And the black kid. The black kid is cool. Then now they're in the middle of this farce that we were talking about.
Right. Yeah. This is where you get the soup and the Spartacus and the bowls that we never see, but evidently are dudes fucking.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And they try to pass them off as like Greek
wrestlers.
Yeah.
Wrestlers, because that's why they're naked, not because they're fucking
each other. The manliest thing you could do, right? Be a Greek wrestler back then.
Sure.
I mean, and back then they would do the Olympics naked.
Yeah.
So it made sense.
Right.
Yeah, they'd be like, oh, these are Greek. Because he's like, oh, they look Greek. And they're like asking for their glasses. Give me my glasses. Because the mom is like, they're playing leapfrog. Which is like what an 8-year-old would say.
Yeah.
And then Nathan Lane was like, well, I have women on mine. Don't you have women on yours? Like trying to pass it off. Like, no, there's naked men and women on here.
Yeah. You didn't get any women? And this is like, again, Nathan Lane's character does such a great job at just like, playing along.
Oh, yeah.
And way better than Robin Williams was before.
Way, way better.
Way better than the son was before. They were fucking it up. And Nathan Lane shows up and saves the day.
Yeah.
Until it starts getting
tipsy.
She's
a real pro.
Yeah. But Gene Hackman is all about, you know, Barbara Bush.
Sure. He's also getting fucked up.
Yeah, he's getting fucked up. Gene Hackman also thinks
and Nathan
that they are looking
up.
Down on
up.
Them because of the scandal.
Right.
So Gene Hackman the whole time is like, don't you know what's going on?
Also, he thinks Robin Williams is some like European fancy
like trash.
Pants.
Yeah.
That doesn't appreciate good old America.
Yeah.
He also doesn't love his wife and treat her well. They're
right.
Exactly. Shut her up.
Yeah.
Her opinions.
Yeah.
Because she has a hilarious opinion of like, if you're gonna have an abortion, you should kill the mother. Instead of killing the abortion doctors, they should kill the moms.
Yeah.
I mean, the baby dies, but you know.
That ship had sailed.
Yeah.
And then the gays in the military, because who would want those haircuts?
Yeah, exactly. Can you believe that? Those haircuts? But Gene Hackman's like eating it up with a spoon.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, this is perfect. This is all I've ever wanted.
And then, of course, it all comes to a head when the biological mom actually shows up.
Right.
And the jig is up.
Gene Hackman goes over the top on his love for Nathan Lane, which
eventually
is very
his wife gets very upset about it.
Yeah. Oh, there's a scene where he almost drops the wig, and then
everybody goes with him to
the bathroom.
I almost wondered if they were going to go full on, like, Gene Hackman makes a move.
Yeah, because that's kind
they
of
did
thing.
Dance together.
They did dance
one
together,
scene,
yes.
Yes.
And singing.
That also looks like a very fun like scene. And if I was at a dinner party and that happened, I would be like, man, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, like we were dancing, they were singing.
Somebody was singing on the piano.
Yeah. was like, good job. All right, now we turned this party around. Yeah. We did it. We turned the party around.
We had that shitty soup with those naked dudes on them.
Yeah, yeah. And eggs in
yeah,
it.
And eggs.
And
yeah.
Shrimp. And he just made it up.
And just shrimp that they threw in, like, after the soup was done.
Yeah. And they keep slipping and falling.
It's like a sweet and sour type.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds awful.
It sounds disgusting.
Also, why?
Well, there's also the really funny bit where they all take a drink of the soup and none of them like spit it out. None of them do anything. That just all of them immediately reach for the bread.
They grab bread. Yeah.
It's a very underrated, funny moment.
It's also funny that
understated.
They're like, Armand, you cook? And he's like, well, your father seems to think so, but he clearly can't cook.
No, not at all.
And they didn't go he should have gotten the Miss Doubtfire route, which is order a fancy meal, right. Pretend like it was his.
Pretend like he made it. Yeah.
But instead, they trusted him with the kitchen.
So he makes a fucking wreck. If he doesn't actually cook, then do they just order out?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? I would say.
Yeah. Well, like early in the movie, when he was like in that cake scene, he was just like ordering stuff from people.
That's true.
Yeah. As he was walking, he was like, bring it to the house because it's cooked because we don't.
Yeah. Because we're not going to cook. Yeah. And yeah. And everybody knew him. He also looked awesome. He had like a vest and like the flowy pants and stuff. And I was taking notes because I'm going to Tampa next week.
That's right.
And I'm like, I need more white, first of all.
Need more linen clothing.
Need more linen clothing, more white pants, more slip-on shoes. But they got to be pricey. They can't be cheap slip-on shoes.
Because they'll know on South Beach.
Oh, yeah. Immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then I'm a joke. A joke of a man.
God damn.
For once.
Yeah, for once.
But yeah, no, they
not,
they
not just, like here in Tucson where you're well-respected.
Yeah, exactly. When I'm something here.
Yeah.
I made something of myself here in Tucson.
Something.
Yeah, thanks. There's also a very funny scene where the rest of the news are like, hey, check this out. They have this recording of them talking about
the zoom in.
The zoom in.
The zoom in and audio zoom in.
Clear as day. Yeah. So at this point, all the vans are outside of the house and the club. And
right. They're all just waiting, hoping that they'll see Gene Hackman. So they can't just go out the door.
No. Because the mom shows up, and then this is the turning point of the son, where I was still like, fuck you, man.
Yeah, there's no redemption.
The son finally comes clean and is like, no, that's not my mom. This is my mom. They raised me. They're gay. Blah, right. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
There's no redemption. It doesn't feel genuine. It feels like we got caught, guys.
Yeah.
Like,
right, like I will have kept this going for the next 50 years.
Yes.
Yeah. 100%.
But because you guys caught me, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, if you're doing redemption for the character, it has to happen, like, they have to get away with the lie, and then he has to be like, you know what?
Yes, they have to be like Jim Hammond, and then we're leaving already.
Right.
And then he's like, you know what? Stop everything.
Right, I got it.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, it is
because,
exactly.
Yeah, because the mom comes in, he's like, well, shit, I guess.
Yeah, right. Like, well, there's no going back now.
Yeah.
I'm a piece of human garbage, so this is my mom.
Then there's the scene where they're all finally in the truth.
Yes.
And though...
Well, I'm going to cut you off real quick. Gene Hackman's reaction to Nathan Lane being a man is fucking great.
It is pretty good.
Yeah, where he's just like, what? They're like, you know, he's a man. They're like gay together. And he's like, what? None of that makes any sense. Like, what are you saying? Like, the words don't compute for him.
And then also, I think the main thing was, like, the Jewish part, so...
Yeah!
Well, that's what somehow sticks with
him. It's a lot. Like, gay, but Jewish?
Right, he's like, are you sure you're Jewish? So, like, I get the gay thing. Yeah. I get you being a man, not a woman. But you're Jewish? Like,
yeah.
I thought we connected.
Yeah. But you're Jewish the whole time. I feel betrayed.
Right.
I feel betrayed.
It reminds me of the white chicks.
Yeah.
Like at the end where like he takes off the mask, the Marlon Wayans. He was like, you're black? Like
it wasn't the fact
that he wasn't white that got to him. Like it was the same concept, which was hilarious.
Which is very fucking funny. So conservative that he can't grasp
the idea that
this woman that he's super into is a man.
But I really kind of
it's like he blew a fuse.
Yeah, exactly. Just exactly. Computer does not compute. I really like the scene afterwards because now that the truth's out there, all of the like posturing is just gone. They're all just like chilling and like regular.
Yeah.
Like, they're back to dress the way they want. Like Gene Hackman's coat's open. Robin Williams is back in his like crazy
Nathan Lane's
suit.
Wig is gone and he took off that weird old lady shawl.
Yeah.
That
and they're all just kind of sitting there being like, well, shit, what do we do now? Kind of confiding in each other in like an honest way.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. And then, of course, you can see this coming a mile away, but how do you get out without being spotted? Well, you're at a drag club, so
yeah.
Yeah, you live on top of a drag club. There's a drag show going happening on
right now.
There's no way this press won't spot us if we leave, unless.
And Gene Hackman in drag.
Yep.
Also, they put him on the stage, which I thought was a bit too much.
Way too much.
No, maybe don't put him on the stage. Have him just like sneak out.
Exactly.
But no, they have to like dance. Well, they don't just out.
So they have to Gene Hackman drag, but they also have to reverse. Or well, I guess it's still drag. Diane Wiest.
Yeah.
So, and then she has the very funny scene where she's dancing with that one guy and he's like, I've never danced with a guy before.
Yeah, yeah.
First time for everything.
I love how awkward he was, like, the whole, like, dancing part, like, super stiff. All the other drag queens were being awkward.
Yes.
You know. Well, then he has a couple of really killer lines, too, where he's like, wait, why does no one want to dance with me? Am I an ugly woman? Like,
yeah.
What's wrong with me? Please dance with me.
I don't want to be the only woman.
And then the daughter,
without a dance partner.
And then the daughter comes along and she's like, how do you think I feel? Like, I'm prettier than most of these men.
Yeah. And then I was like, no.
Right.
No, she's not.
I know those drag queens are flawless.
Yeah, yeah.
They
picked some really good drag queens for that. Yeah. Even the opening, I was like, man, they're really pretty drag queens.
Yeah, I don't know why her drag was kind of like Wednesday Addams.
It was
in a white
super
dress.
Weird. It was like that little black wig thing on her, and I was like, weird. She looks fucking weird. Maybe she picked it out because she's like, I don't know.
Maybe it was supposed to be awkward for all of them.
Yeah. I mean, it just has to look like someone completely different, right?
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They dance out. They dance past the press.
Right. They get one more one-liner where, because their driver is sitting there and has given information up for money to.
Yeah, he's
press.
The worst fucking driver.
Yeah, this whole time.
He's selling
to the press.
But then Gene
also,
Hackman
in when they're driving and they're getting followed, he's happy about that.
Oh yeah.
Like, he's like, yes, I get to take down the senator.
He's getting more and more money as the movie goes along.
Oh, maybe you're right. Maybe he's actually a liberal person and he's just hates the guys he works for. Yeah.
Morality.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe he's gay.
Maybe.
So we don't blame him.
Yeah.
Like, he's an asshole to his boss, but good
but
for
his
him.
Boss yeah, but his, yeah. Yeah, his boss yeah. is an asshole, so maybe. But yeah, so the line, though, is Gene Hackman and Drag is like, you know, take the car and meet us around there. Or meet me around there or whatever. And he's like, not for $1 million.
And then, yeah, they all get in the convertible, in the mom's convertible.
Mm-hmm.
Again, in quotations, mom's convertible. And then they drive off. And then we jump ahead to them getting married.
Right. And now everybody's happy as can be.
Right.
And the fun part is, like, the separation. So you have, like...
Half the audience.
Half the side's, like, in black and
yes,
stuff
like they look
that.
Like they're
and
at a fucking funeral.
Yeah, a funeral. And then you have the gays, obviously, colorful, vibrant, and more of them.
Yeah, and like, crying more.
Yeah.
Very emotional.
Very emotional.
And it's funny because they don't know what to do with each other. Because, like, even the gays are looking at the straight people are like, how... Like, what do we do with
them? Yeah, yeah.
Except like, for the one that's like, Bob Dole, though.
Right.
yeah.
That Bob Dole.
Bob Dole looks hot.
That was another one when they cut to the two old ladies and they're like, which one's the mom?
Yeah.
And the other one's like, I don't know. Like, just confusion all
Although,
across
and,
the board.
And speaking of confusion,
no idea.
They have a priest and a rabbi.
Yeah.
I've never seen that before.
Yeah. When have you had two people
is that legal?
Ideologies ordained?
Yeah, they do that now.
Do they really?
Now they do. Back in 96, I don't think they ever did that.
I think that was
groundbreaking. But now they do it all the time where like they're two from two different religions.
I thought you just had to choose.
You should have done that from the very beginning. I don't understand why one person had to switch over to the other religion. That's a way to get a divorce in a year and a half.
Again, it depends on the religion and how conservative those people are in that religion.
That's fair.
But yeah, most of the time they're like, oh, we'll just like merge them together and then you'll have, you know, the religious person from your side and the religious person from my side. That's like a joint ceremony.
Could you get one guy though and just have him wear half a rabbi outfit and half a priest outfit?
I feel like that would be offensive, but that would be hilarious.
But that would be very funny.
That would be really funny, right? Great.
And if he turned to one side when he's saying one part and then turns to the other side? And he says the other.
But like Hasidic Jewish. So yeah. Like
full on. Yeah.
And then Catholic priest, so also full on.
All full on.
Yeah. Yeah, so that.
Then you get a necklace that's half crucifix and half Star of David.
Oh my God.
I love it.
Hey, way to offend.
This is my new Batman villain. Yep.
Right, yeah.
Two-Face.
Father Jewish?
No, Two-Face. Come on, it writes
Two-Face?
Itself.
Two-Face. It would be, yeah,
Two-Face.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Are you thinking probably just one of those all-inclusive gurus that covers all religions?
Oh, just a spiritual guru?
Yeah, spiritual guru. And then everything he says is just a weird mishmash that you have to decipher. Of every religion. And also, just, throwing an Elvis in there. Because Elvis marries Elvis, people all the time.
Just make it very vague. They're like, oh, heavenly...
person in the sky.
Yeah, exactly. him or her.
She, him, they, them.
Looks down upon us.
And maybe, bless this marriage between these two people.
Gives us their love or the freedom. I don't know. Or like the right, the right to choose whether or not.
Our destiny to meet each other.
That's a way to piss off some boomers.
It does not spite us.
Yeah. Piss off some boomers that way. People will be like, I don't understand any of this, so I'm very mad about it. I want everything to be the way I was when I was younger.
Yeah.
It also makes me think, like, how funny is that reception going to be? It's going to be...
Yeah.
I wish it would have shown a reception. Like,
that could have been a great credit scene, too.
It would have, yeah.
Yeah. It probably would have been, like, a nice dinner, and then, like, at 9, a fucking rager of a party.
Oh, yeah.
And then, again, all these straight conservative people were like, you know what? We're here. Fuck it. Let's do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And just be in it.
And then a couple of them live out their weird... Their fantasy that they've been hiding the whole time. Yeah, you know. Kissing a dude sometimes. Yeah.
Like, I thought it was a woman. Long hair.
Yeah, exactly. And I was very drunk, you know? Yeah. It'll never happen again, and I'm not going to jerk off to it all the time.
Yeah.
Or anything.
Definitely not going to start going to glory holes or anything.
Yep. whilst hating, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway,
You hate nothing more than the things you hate about yourself.
Yeah, exactly. So the movie has a very happy ending.
It does. The movie does. I mean, it's already an hour and 50 minutes, and it does what it needs to do, but it does kind of rush the ending a little bit. Like you said, you never really feel sympathy for the kid.
No.
Calista Flockhart's character, she's kind of there, I guess. Yeah.
I feel like her and the mom are both kind of just like,
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
They don't really add anything.
Right. And the mom even has that line where the mom is like, please be the one person that likes me, like, because nobody likes
her. Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and she, I don't know, like, I guess it's more with the son, because he just has the one line where he's like, no, Nathan Lane's my mom, and I love him, and...
Yeah.
That's kind of it. And then they're just getting married and everything's okay and everyone's great. And it's like, you were kind of a huge piece of shit. And
if anything,
like, I feel like if, like, there's no fallout to the whole, like, they make such a big deal about Gene Hackman and the senator and this whole thing. And then it's just like, whatever.
Well, if anything, it's what Hollywood loves, right? Like, Gene Hackman is really the guy that learned something. Gene Hackman is the one that lets them get married and shit like that. You know what I mean?
I guess so. Yeah.
Which is the, you know, it's the thing that they love to, like, be like, oh, a conservative old guy that kind of comes over to the, like, liberal ideals. Even though he doesn't necessarily have to. We don't see him actually do that.
Yeah, I mean, other than he cross-dresses to get out of...
Yeah, but that's to get out of...
That's necessity, not really.
And he's there at the wedding, but we... Mentioning Dick Cheney, Liz Cheney was out of the closet way, like, when Dick Cheney was vice president, and he always still... was very much against gay marriage.
Right.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, Obama was too in the first election run.
Yeah, because you had to do that. Yeah. Stupid.
So, I mean, I don't know how Dick Cheney felt in his real life, or Obama for that matter, but, you know, politics.
Well, Dick Cheney has no soul, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
He's just an evil, weird husk of a person.
I mean, he may have loved his daughter.
At some point.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It's possible.
And the devil's like, nope.
I will take this love from you.
You sold your soul. I get all these emotions. Yeah. I get everything from you. So anyway, we come to the end of the movie.
We come to the end of the movie, which brings us to our favorite section. How do we fix this movie?
I do like the idea of Mrs. Doubtfire 2.
Mrs. Doubtfire 2 actually kind of rules.
Kind of.
That would have been great.
Yeah.
And Nathan Lane as Mrs. Doubtfire would have been.
Would have been very good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, Mrs. Doubtfire 2, and there's now two Mrs. Doubtfires, because now it's Nathan Lane and Robin Williams doing drag nonstop.
Oh, yeah. Can we get a hardcore sex scene in there of them in, like, in drag?
It would just be two Barbara Bushes. Family
film. I mean, I've always wanted to see
exactly.
That. So, yeah.
Don't fuck with my...
Okay, yes, we can, but yeah, they have to be Eleanor Roosevelt and Barbara Bush at the time.
All right.
Yeah, so
I'm on board with
that. It fulfills every strange historian's fantasy.
Who was Nixon's wife? Anybody know? No, nobody knows who Nixon's wife was.
I don't know who Nixon's wife
was. I barely know who Nixon is.
Yeah, yeah, just yeah.
We're very young, hip people,
Francisco. We know Nixon because of Point Break, maybe?
And Futurama.
And Futurama, yeah, exactly.
He is the head in Futurama yeah. that shows up quite
I remember
often.
That head in Futurama, sure. Yeah. He was one of the masks in Point Break.
I saw Frost versus Nixon once. I do not remember a wife.
No, not at all.
Was Frost his wife?
Hey, she probably had a name like Tippy or like Gidget. Was it Gidget Nixon?
Probably, because it was Tippy
that
Gore,
sounds
right?
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's put some Gidget Nixon in this.
Now I'm just thinking Gadget. So I'm thinking that Nixon was married to a cartoon mouse.
Oh, or Inspector Gadget?
Or yeah, Inspector
Go-Go
Gadget. Gadget.
Yeah. Was Penny.
Maybe that's.
Was Penny's last name Gadget?
I assume so.
In Inspector Gadget?
Probably.
She had to be.
Right? Well, who's his niece?
Niece, yeah. But if he was married to Inspector Gadget, again, that would explain the recordings.
Right. Because he's a robot man.
He's a robot.
And also, he's like a 90s robot guy, so it's all cassettes.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. He's just recording cassettes.
Do you think it was still cassettes? To record. Because even Disc Man's back then.
Yeah.
There was no record feature.
No.
Absolutely not.
Not at all.
Yeah.
So he was just still cassettes.
Yeah, still cassettes, for sure.
So Inspector Gadget. Was he married to?
But it was the 70s, so 8-track.
Is it Inspector Gadget is married to Gidget Nixon? Is that what we landed on?
Yes. No, I think we landed on Inspector Gadget is married to Gadget from the Rescue Rangers.
Oh, so it's a big robot guy and a mouse.
And a mouse.
And that's how we fixed the birdcage.
That's right. We're just making it more inclusive, people. You got to throw cyborgs in there.
Yeah.
Cartoons, peoples.
Animals.
Furries.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, maybe more thong bikinis. That was nice.
Yeah. There's some crazy
if
bikinis.
If everybody was in a thong.
Yes.
The whole time.
Just the whole
movie.
And everybody's like super cut and oiled up.
Yeah.
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 Do we still have the same cast?
Yes.
Just obviously. Gene Hackman oiled up in a thong?
Yeah. I would watch that.
I mean, Gene Hackman is a national treasure. I mean, I would watch it too.
He's a pull off anything.
Yeah exactly.
The guy's great in everything. He would have been amazing.
And then the squatch of a man that's Robin Williams.
Yeah.
It's just all hair.
Yeah, so, you wouldn't even tell. Like, is he wearing a shirt? I don't know.
I'm surprised that he hadn't done nudity because I feel like it would have just been hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would have been like, well, we didn't see
it. Like Cousin
anything.
It.
Yeah.
Exactly. Actually, he has done nudity. We just didn't know. In Cousin It.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's been Cousin It the whole time. He's just a man made of hair. More thong bikinis, more beefcakes. Yeah, store some oil, or more oiled up beefcakes in there.
A not shitty son. That would have been great.
Yes.
Actual
like, maybe
redemption.
A nice, supportive son.
Yeah.
But then the movie goes away.
Well, no, they from the very beginning, he should have been like, no, let's get Nathan Lane to pretend to be my mom. And then it's trying to get him to be as, like, womanly. Like,
right.
Like that scene in Miss Doubtfire with him, trying to get him to look more.
They could do that. Like, I mean, you could also still, like, I assumed it would be, where all three of them were like, well, shit, this is a thing we've got to do, so let's do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you do that. And then it's all about tricking Gene Hackman until Gene Hackman finds out.
Yeah. Right.
You could have still done that instead of
and you could have and instead of having it take like 45 minutes for them to get there, you have them get there at the hour mark or what, or you know, like maybe 40 minutes in, and then you have an hour of them like over maybe several days where they have to keep the charade going.
We're probably talking about Ms. Doubtfire again.
Oh, yeah, right. Over maybe several months
having dinner with two people
yeah.
at the same time, which just fucking change it, dude. Like, just don't show up to one of them. Like,
no.
Yeah, no, it has to be...
Same time.
Both of them at
Comedy
the same
gold.
Time. Yeah.
Every time. Man, I really want to do that in real life.
Like, just have
that's
two
like,
dates
that's
at the same
That's a life
time?
Goal for me. Yes.
To pull it off or to get caught in a funny way?
Both.
Both, right. Yeah.
Either. Yeah. Either or both. Pull off two dates. And they have to be... They can't both be with me. Like, one of them has to be with me.
Or like Sir Reginald.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Sassy like young man
wearing,
about town.
Yeah, completely different outfit. Completely different hairstyle. A wig.
Monocle.
Makeup.
Yeah.
Something crazy.
It's
yeah.
like a very upscale party. And then like a dive bar. So you have
I gotta
to
have like
switch.
A fake beard. Like, it's got to be a whole thing.
Yes, that's a way to do it.
That is a life dream of mine. You always wanted to get a drink thrown in your face. I want to have two dates at the same time.
All right. We could probably do those at the same time.
At the same time?
Yeah.
Do it all in one night?
We'll double date it, and then I'll be like the weird, like the smart alecky guy, and then she'll throw a drink in my face when she finds out I was covering for you.
Right. Oh, perfect.
All right.
So we fix this movie by having a real life
Yeah, but real life adventure. Us going on a double date? All right.
It works. I would watch it.
Yeah, see?
Two men, three dates, one night.
All right. We fixed this movie.
So that's the end of the show. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Francisco, for finally getting in on the show.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. It's a fun movie.
It is
you guys
a very watch fun movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the movie like I hadn't, watch it. It's really good.
Yeah, it stands up.
Yeah,
it does.
It will keep standing up. I mean,
yes, to this day, it's very, very topical.
I think we talked at the very end of last episode that you were especially worried that this movie may not have aged particularly well.
And it aged great.
It's still really good. There's stereotypes and stuff like that, but I didn't think there was anything that was like...
outdated. Yeah.
No, and like I said, I feel like I know people that are...
those people.
That outlandish in their lives and are so disconnected from like straight people. Which is fine because they're only around gay people and they love that and stuff like that. So I was like, that makes sense. I would also probably be like, oh, sports, like, yay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's still true. And the conservative center character, still very much true.
Still there.
Pilling the same shit.
There's still these congressmen dying in underage hookers' beds.
Yes.
To this day.
Yep,
so
exactly.
That has not changed.
No, none of it has changed. And the only thing that does seem, and it's because he's so shitty, is the son seems like the most non-realistic character.
Yeah.
Like, I think raised by Nathan Lane and Robin Williams,
you are a very compassionate
person to them.
Right.
And not being like, we have to hide all this.
Yeah. He'd be more like standing up for them. Like, no, right. Like either we get married them knowing or it's not going to work.
So you would make Calista Flockhart a bitch that is controlling him into doing it.
Right. But then you can't really have them get married at the end.
Right. Right. Yeah. Because she would be a shitty person.
Right.
So he has to be the shitty person.
I mean, again, or they could be in it together.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so next week we do a complete 180, and we go back to the world of men and guns and slapping hoes and...
slapping hoes. Go on.
We're talking about our good friend, Mr. 007 himself, James Bond.
Oh, we're going to James Bond?
It's a Pierce Brosnan Bond. It's Tomorrow Never Dies.
Nice.
So we will, probably should have done it like 4 weeks ago when the new Bond was in theaters, but...
Yep.
We're going to hit James Bond next week on the show. Come back and join us for that. Until then, of course, check out our show everywhere the podcasts are. Check out the back issues. Definitely check out the Patreon, blockbusternostalgia@gmail.com. If you have questions, comments, concerns, pictures of Robin Williams and Nathan Lane having sex but dressed as... Eleanor Roosevelt
Bushes.
And Barbara Bush.
No, Gidget Nixon.
Gidget Nixon. And of course, thanks again to Wallace Book for our theme song. I've been E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
And I'm the other Francisco.
Oh, for the one time
Francisco
you're the other Francisco.
One,
right.
Yeah.
Wishing you a good night and a good journey.
We love you. Pat Nixon. Wow. Patricia Ryan Nixon.
Sounds very lesbian.
Yeah, oh yeah. Because check this out. Patricia Ryan Nixon was born Thelma Catherine Ryan.
How did she go from Thelma to...
It was probably during the campaign. A campaign manager was probably like, well, Thelma?
Thelma is too lesbian.
It's too lesbian.
We need you to sound more Patricia.
Patricia, yeah.
Surprised she wasn't called Ethel.
Yeah. Or... Lady Bird was Johnson's wife, Lady Bird Johnson, which is a very, very weirdly feminine.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, overtly.
Like overtly.
Stop trying.
Much. Yeah, exactly.
I know that's not your real name.
Yeah.
Isn't Birdie.
Lady Bird. Yeah, exactly. Nobody's named Lady Bird anymore. Except for that movie from 5 years ago called Lady Bird.
Right.
Although if I found somebody named Lady Bird, like, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, I appreciate cool names a lot. Like, I'll tell people, I'm like, that's a fucking dope name.
Yeah, I knew somebody, her name was Princess.
Oh, yeah?
And her last name was Freeland.
Really? Oh,
Freeland.
Yeah.
Freeland. That's like, amazing.
I've known a lot of people named Princess, but they were all strippers.